We are rolling. Welcome, everyone. I would like to reconvene this special meeting of the City Council of University City at 6:01. Tonight, we are continuing our interviews of candidates to fill the vacancy on the City Council caused by the resignation of Steve Kraft on May 27th. Ms. Carol Wofsy is here at this point. Carol is the fifth applicant we are interviewing today. Ms. Wofsy, the way this has been done is we allow you time to present your statement covering whatever details you would like, and then you'll take questions from the council. The whole session should last no more than 20 to 25 minutes. And I believe you know everyone on the council. So with that,
I do.
Okay. With that, I will turn it over. Oh, Mr. Saliba? Okay. Is that working? Okay, with that, Ms. Wofsy, we turn the microphones over to you.
So good evening, everyone, and thank you all for giving up your, I think, all day Thursday. This has to be quite a grueling process for you, and I really appreciate your dedication to filling the position in the first ward and adhering to our charter. I wasn't quite sure what you would want me to address, so what I've prepared is just answers to three questions that I assume that you will want answered. The first one is, why did I apply? The second is, what will I do if you appoint me? And the third one is, why me? So, why did I apply for this position? Basically for the same reason that I ran for council this last spring, to bring change for a better university city. I have to remember this thing is touchy. I think most, if not all of you, saw my last email blast that went out post-election, and I'd like to quote from that. I think it's still very true. I said, University City will continue to face challenges after these election results are forgotten. Our diversity, our crumbling infrastructure, our schools, and how best to continue as a financially prosperous as well as vibrant and diverse community. Our city and all of us need reconciliation and a positive agenda from our leadership. Most importantly, though, all of us need to focus on building UCity, not tearing it apart. I wish everyone on the City Council the best as they work to bring our community together while acting on these principles. I want to continue to bring University City while acting on those principles. The second question is, what would I do? I have a lengthy positive agenda of things I would like to get done and on the council and help the council do. I would like to develop a strategic five-year plan, not me, myself, and I, but I think that the city needs to develop that. Like every city, University City has many competing needs. A five-year strategic capital plan would address many items such as streets, recreation, pension funds, police, fire protection. We would prioritize among our needs and wants and put together a plan which would also give us some options for funding those. I think that the process needs to include considerable public meetings with community input, both because citizens care and have great ideas, but also as part of the process of rebuilding trust in our municipal government. I think everyone in this room is aware that there's considerable distrust of the City Hall out there. I think the council needs to help plan for future vacancies. Our current city manager is 63, I don't think he's quite turned 64 yet. The police chief, fire chief, and finance director are also nearing what most of us think of as typical retirement age. We should be acting now to design an inclusive and responsible process for selection of our next city manager, as well as making sure that there is succession planning in all the departments. I want to be the type of council person who keeps residents informed, seek their input, be their voice in the city's affairs. They will hear from me regularly. My favorite mode of communication is via email newsletter. I will also use mail when appropriate, and I'm learning to use Twitter. And I will be having quarterly resident meetings. If I am on the council, I will have an open door policy for residents, for business owners, and for all stakeholders. I want to work on safer pedestrian crossings over Del Mar, particularly across from the synagogues in Lewis Park. I think we need to look at having an ombudsman for the city charged with investigating and addressing citizen concerns. I'm interested in customer relations, customer satisfaction training for new city employees, and perhaps refresher training for current employees. I think it's time to review the city's permitting and inspection process. When I was campaigning, and frankly as a homeowner, I hear complaints from residents about contractors and vendors having to wait too long for city inspectors to come out to inspect before the next phase of work starts, for instance. I've long proposed internet streaming of council meetings, and I'm pleased to see that some citizens have stepped up and started that. And I also support more access to city proceedings. We've stopped recording commission meetings, for instance. I would like to reinstate that. I'm interested in instituting an EMS complaint line, a quality control board. I'm interested in working aggressively with Washington University for continued cost sharing, particularly for a police station. And as I said, I do plan to have quarterly resident meetings in different locations in Ward 1. Ward 1 is the largest of the wards geographically. We are really a series of neighborhoods spread together. We go almost all the way out to Skinker, past 170. There's a whole precinct past 170 south of Del Mar, and then we have a tremendous number of people north of Del Mar. We are racially diverse, we are ethnically diverse, we are economically diverse, and we certainly are religiously diverse. A lot of different neighborhoods. And I would want to devote one of those quarterly meetings to seniors and senior issues. We have four major senior centers on the west end of Ward 1, and I want to make sure that they are included. Why me? I think I have the drive, the energy, the commitment to public service, the leadership and management skills, the knowledge of University City that are needed, and a reasonable, no-drama approach to people and problem solving. Briefly, I know you city, especially the first ward. I've lived here since 1982, first in the Little Lindell neighborhood, now in New Heights 3. I'm a proven community leader with a collaborative approach and board experience. I currently serve on the board of directors of Central Reform Congregation and UCity in Bloom, and also chair the city's traffic commission. These entities face or have faced their share of budget, mission, management transition, and board personality challenges similar to those faced here in UCity from time to time, if not perhaps always on the same scale. I am a community volunteer experienced in inclusion and innovation. I participate in the joint venture of Metropolitan St. Louis, which is an organization that's been around for 25 plus years, in which members of an African American church and a Jewish congregation meet in each other's homes monthly, share dinner, and share dialogue. I also volunteer with, and actually right now administer, Lock It for Love, which is a gun lock education and distribution program I helped develop to save children's lives. And we operate on a shoestring, believe me. I am a retired business lawyer. I specialized in corporate matters and transactions. I spent 20 years in the practice of law, first at Bryan Cave, where I had a securities and business practice, and then at Merits Inc., where I advised top executives on a range of operational, transactional, and human resources issues. I also served as president of the St. Louis chapter of the American Corporate Counsel Association. I think we all love U City. That's why everyone here is sitting at this table. I would like to help move us in the right direction. So I'm sure you have questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Councilmember Jennings.
You've intimated that you're one who wants to get back to the business of running the city. You want to stop the fighting, the squabbling, I guess we'll call it. How could you deal with our council's dysfunction? Really, if some of us are entrenched in what we believe is right, how can you change our attitude, our belief?
Well, I'm not pretending to you, Mr. Jennings, that it's easy or that it's quick, but I do believe that I can be part of moving that along. I think part of it is watching my own behavior and being a good council person, doing what I think is right. And then part of it is, just as I listen to my constituents and respect them, I would expect to listen to and respect every person around this table. I think we all need to start practicing the art of compromise, the art of listening. I think we would all need to start building trust with each other. That takes time. The way I have done that in the past is to communicate openly, not surprise people. I don't engage in gotchas. I try to deal on the surface. I try to, I think we have to find the points where we win. It was a question that came up often in my coffees when I was campaigning. One of the examples I gave of something, of the type of thing that I thought that I could bring to the table and that how I would engage is, I think it's well known that Ms. Carr and I have had our differences at times. However, I do respect her, and I do know that there are points at which our interests cross. And the thought that we would do internet streaming is something that I'm interested in, and from what I have seen of her, is the type of thing that she is interested in, or I think that she would be interested in. And I would be reaching, well, you guys aren't exactly divided the right way, but I would be reaching to each chair to find projects that we could work on together and things that we could do together.
You mentioned that you belong to a group of African-American church and a Jewish synagogue that gets together and share and talk about it. I, along with Mr. Smotherson, I think we're in agreement that we serve a ward that's, in our opinion, been overlooked and underserved. How can you make us feel comfortable we're going to get a fair share of resources?
Well, first of all, by listening to you and respecting you, I think that's, as I said, key to everything. And then by doing my job, and part of the job of being a leader is not only representing your board, but bringing ideas and issues to your ward, and when you make a decision that they may or may not, you suspect they may not like, you need to take the leadership role in explaining to them why this is good for the city and why this is good for them. And I think that's the kind of thing that you are indicating. I mean, I think that I'm certainly in agreement that the third ward has been neglected.
Good.
Any other questions? Ms. Carr?
Thank you for stepping forward, Ms. Wassey. My first question is going to be one that I've asked all of the applicants. I'd like to know your view of representative government, and I have prefaced it for everyone with the fact that when it came time for the bond issue, There were many, many people that did not feel that they were included in the process of defining what we were going to do. And in fact, 2-1, the city said no. And as I remember, you did support it. And then secondly, and much more dramatically for me, was what happened with the outsourcing. When this council chambers was filled with over 300 people, asking for a delay, asking for some time to process, and this council went ahead. And so it became clear to me at that time that there was a dichotomy in our views about what representative government was and what a representative should be. So I'd like to hear yours, please.
Okay. Well, I think you're asking three things. Well, representative government, what did I think about the outsourcing of the EMS, and what? Okay, all right. Just representative government. Well, and I think I've alluded to that. I mean, as the elected representative, I am the voice of the people. I need to listen to them. I need to represent their interests. But I'm also a leader, and it's a two-way street. I have to explain, and I have to communicate, and sometimes I have to convince people who would be my constituents as to why we would be doing something that might not strike them as immediately strike them as the best idea. And I do want to clarify on the bond issue. I supported the thought of the bond issue. I deplored the way in which it was done. I think you were at the study session. I know you were at the study session in which the idea was first introduced, and you probably saw me in the back of the room slowly going crazy. I don't know much about promoting city bonds, but when I was active in the school district, I sat on two different bond committees and worked on two different bond issues. It is typically a 6 to 9 month PR marketing process. It needs considerable, to sell it, it needs considerable community input. They have to have buy-in. The process was very bad on that.
Thank
it was
you.
Not representative. Okay. Planning, it was not representative government.
Okay. So so I'm hearing you say that that you would be the voice of the people, but if you, and I'm trying not to paraphrase it, but if you felt that there was something important that your constituents were missing, you would not represent their views, or?
Well, I mean, as a politician and as a human being, I'm not really happy with saying I wouldn't represent their views. I think it's my job to help shape their views.
Okay. Okay. All right. In your packet, you say, "I'm tired and sickened by all of the U-City political games of the past several years." So I'd like a couple of examples of what those games were, please.
Well, I thought we saw one at the meeting last Monday, and I apologize to Mayor Welsh because she's going to be upset for me bringing this up, but the movement, the motion to put in an omnibus amendment, while I'm not a Roberts Rules expert, I believe it was technically correct and feasible, I thought was inappropriate and unwise.
Any other, since you said games plural, I assume that that has shaped your feeling about that we need to move in a different direction?
You know, there could be a long litany. I think there have been games played by many, many different people. But as I look around this table, these are all people that, if appointed, I need to work with. And it has always been my policy not to burn my bridges before I even, I'm mixing my metaphors here. I mean, I really think we are at a stage where we need to draw a line in the sand and say what's past is past. The city needs us to build, and we need to move forward. So I guess I'm going to decline to give you details.
Okay, and I appreciate it, but then I find your sentence here kind of disingenuous. If you're going to make the statement, I would expect
well,
you
and I
to
do
explain
apologize
it.
Well, I do apologize for that.
Okay, thank you. All right, so I do agree with the rebuilding trust, I, you know, as I've talked to my constituents, especially during campaigning, I found a distinct lack of trust. How would you rebuild trust?
Well, as I said, there's some, oh, it's raining again. Some specific things I do in my ward. I do plan to have quarterly ward meetings and to have regular communications, and I probably would reach out to my partner here to join me in those if he wanted to. I am very interested in strategic planning, as you noted, capital planning, and as I said, I think that needs to have considerable citizen input, in part to get their ideas and their buy-in, but to start building trust. Those are two specific ways.
Okay. And then in terms of succession planning in departments, you've been around a while, and so you probably know the separation of powers. And so in that case, how would you, as a member of council, actually institute succession planning in departments, since that's the same
The council
job?
Doesn't institute succession planning in council, and however, the council can ask to review it. They can ask to have a quarterly report on it. They can ask to have an annual report on it. It can be part of the game plan for the city manager in the future. I know you all have not done a lot of reviewing or setting of goals for the city manager, but I come from a corporate background, and I would expect to try to institute that type of thing.
Okay, and the last question is in terms of recording the commission meetings.
Yes.
So I attended those traffic commission meetings. In fact, I was the liaison to that time. And at the time that Mr. Walker took that away, you were very, it appeared that you were very interested in getting the recordings back. At some point, however, you switched away from making the recordings. Now, it's not necessary for the staff to make the recordings, but you didn't seem to support making the recordings for your commission. Can you explain why?
I wasn't so much supporting recording for the commission as I think it's for the citizenry. I think it needs to be, there should be recordings, they should be posted up on the website. You know, I spoke with Mr. Walker a couple times, as you may remember. I think there was some emails going back and forth about this. I did not get a response that really told me why it was discontinued, and I decided I was beating a dead horse and I was not going to get an answer, and there really wasn't much I could do about it. So
okay, so I do understand what you're saying, but again, Mr. Walker is not in charge of your commission. So your commission could have decided, if you are really sincere about, you know, wanting the recordings to remain, your commission could have decided to make the recordings themselves and keep them, and yet you did not fight for that.
It never occurred to me. I mean, we currently have someone on the commission who is recording. I don't have an objection to that. I'm for free access. You know, these are being recorded by people out in the audience, no doubt. And you have a recorder. I think it's a different purpose. I think that the city should be doing this. The administration should be doing it as part of the regular, not just in the traffic commission, but for every public function where there's decision making of any kind or public input, and that it should be available for citizens. I understand that many people may not use it, but if it's not there, they can't use it. We need to be inviting citizens into our government, and that's just one way to do it.
Okay, we are running towards the end, so Mr. Glickert and then Mr. Crow. And
yeah, I'm cognizant of that, so I only ask one question. That's the question I asked the candidates earlier today. You've given us a lot of things, Ms. Wofsy, in your comments to us, but can you give us two or three top priority items if you fill this seat? What would be the two, three, or four top items?
Strategic planning and getting our finances in order, succession planning, and then doing the bread and butter work of being a council person, which isn't always visible to the public, but that's communicating, listening, and helping constituents work through the sometimes Byzantine processes of the city. I know council members get lots of phone calls and emails from constituents, and that is a big part of the job, and I think it's really important, and that's, I'm taking that on.
Mr. Crowe?
Thank you. Ms. Wobbsley, I don't think any of us can question your commitment to our community. I think all of us would probably just simply say thank you for your long-term involvement in our community. You started out tonight by saying that your reason for running was to bring change for a better U-City, which I understand the phrase to a degree, but you chose then to run against me twice. And so I'm trying to determine what change you're wanting when you decided to run against me twice, but neglected to run against Dr. Kraft.
Well, I think we talked about Dr. Kraft after I lost the first time to you. I actually hoped, I guess it was wishful thinking. I thought you were most likely not going to run this time. There were a number of things that you, as I was making up my mind to run, I obviously you kind of look around and see who the opposition is going to be. I had assumed that it would probably be Mr. Hales or Mr. McMahon who would be running. You had discontinued your website. You had taken your ethics filings out of Jeff City. I later discovered you'd moved them to the county, but you know, you'd closed your committee down. There were a number of things you'd done like that. And I kind of thought you weren't going to run. So I've never thought in particular I was running as much against you as running for myself and running for change in the city. I don't think there's any secret that I thought there needed to be quite a bit of change on the council.
So. And at the time of Dr. Kraft's race, you didn't think there needed to be change?
Well, you know, we did talk about that 4 years ago, and you asked me whether I would be running against him, and I think I told you at that point that from a policy point of view, he often voted the way I would vote, so I thought that was an issue. It's also a closer relationship. I did not know Dr. Kraft himself very well at that time, but you know, his wife was the garden person in the PTO when I was the president of the Flint Park PTO. We belonged to the same synagogue. His kids were lifeguards in my pool when I had pool parties, and those things may, as you know, make it a little more difficult. And then actually 2 years ago there were personal things going in my life, and I would not, no matter if he hadn't run at all, I mean, I would not have run because it was just not a good time for me to run.
You mentioned earlier that you were aghast at some of the, I think that may not be the right word, but when some of the things were going on during the study session about S&P, that you were surprised at how the process worked. I guess my question is, unless my memory is faulty, in council chambers, you were silent on S&P, and you were silent on outsourcing of EMS, and you were silent on the mayor's action to remove me from office.
That's correct.
Okay.
I generally, I am a quiet person, and I often try to work behind the scenes. I mean, you will remember I did write a letter to the editor and the Post-Dispatch at one point after the bond issue failed, talking about how to move forward. But no, speaking in council chambers was from the floor, as you've noted, is not generally the way I act.
And then I've only got two questions left. As far as the appointment process for this seat, a majority of the first ward has said no to you twice. And so the appointment process is a different avenue of getting to the same place, or just curious? Yeah.
Well, I take a little exception to, I mean, obviously I didn't win twice, but I got almost 1,000 votes this last time, which was a couple hundred more than I did the first time, and that's quite substantial in these elections. Obviously, you know, you look at the numbers. Obviously, you did much better and managed to, we had great turnout. So, I'm sorry, I lost the train of thought. What was your question?
Well, to me, when asking us to appoint you to a position to represent the First Ward when twice the First Ward has said no to you, that's just, to me, at least questionable on my part, is us making an appointment that the voters of the First Ward have actually said no to twice.
Well, that is something you're going to have to think about.
Then my last question is, you talked about changing the direction of the city. So really, I guess what I would ask is, you sit here today asking to become a member of the council, is the city headed in the right direction or the wrong direction?
The city's headed in the wrong direction. Our reserves are falling. We seem to be, we don't know quite what we're doing with the police station. We have considerable distrust among our electorate. City's heading in the wrong direction.
Thank you very much. We're actually over our time. Thank you very much, Ms. Wofsy. And council, pardon me? Yeah, the light wasn't on, so Mr. Smotherson, did you have something? Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. No, I just do it when somebody's light's on. Okay, thank you very much. If council's okay, we will now move on to our next applicant, who is Jeff Hales.